is meeting this Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our study. We're still in the parables of Jesus. This week we are looking at the parable of the shrewd manager, and that's found in Luke 16, verses 1 to 16. If you're interested, there are some handout sheets on the at the back. Even if you can't come to Bible study, it's a great study that you can do on your own. On Saturday, May the 3rd, you are all invited at 10 o'clock for our Ambassador Baptist Outreach event. It's a great opportunity to let people in our community know that God loves them and deliver invitations to come and worship with us. And on Sunday, May the 18th, the induction service for Pastor James will be happening here at our church at 3 p.m. Please plan to attend this special service in the afternoon. The call to worship this morning is found in 1 Peter 1:3, and it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Our first hymn this morning is "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." Please stand if you are able.
Our eternal God, we are grateful this morning for your mercies, your goodness, your kindness. We're grateful because you loved us even when we never were willing and ready to love you. The Bible says, "What greater love can a man have for his friends than to lay down his life?" The same scripture says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Lord, we are here today as humans who have been saved by you, who have been blessed by you, who have been raised by you, who have been healed by you. We thank you for Canada. We thank you for Windsor. We thank you for all the churches here in Windsor. We thank you for the Canadian Baptist of Ontario and Quebec. We're grateful for a time like this to celebrate your resurrection, because it's in your resurrection we have hope and assurance of eternal life. Lord, even as we celebrate this Easter, we ask, O God, that all over the world, in places where people are being challenged, people are being persecuted, people are being frustrated and oppressed, we ask, O God, that your mercy will prevail. Lord, we pray that in the places where, even all over, where there are economic challenges, where there are wars, where there are rumors of wars, where things have been unstable, life has been difficult, we ask, O God, that the value of your death will reach each and every of these nations to the glory of your name. And Lord, we pray for us in Canada here, that even as we have come into the season of the elections, that you help us to know the premium that you have placed upon us means that we ought to lift up the banner of your name even as we go to do our civic as well as Christian responsibilities in voting. And Lord, may we place our vote in alignment with those who value who you are, those who know that Canada is for Jesus, those who recognize the value of every life and will work for the progress as well as continuous religious liberty. We pray, O God, that you will guide and guard each and everyone through the season, and may your blessings continue to be with us. And as we have come to this worship experience this morning, May this Easter be a special one that you will visit us in our little spaces and corners, that at the end of this worship experience, your name alone will be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasping his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
A happy Easter to each and every one of us this morning. It's nice to be together in God's presence. Can you help me look at somebody by your side and smile? Tell them happy Easter. The way you're saying it, nobody's charging you for saying that. So you're not going to pay a fee. Just smile. Jesus died already for us. So can you smile and tell that person happy Easter? Good. We need that. Amen. I was telling my wife this morning that she said the sky was very bright because we were doing video call while I was walking down. I said, the sky is very bright. The sun is just doing a work of illumination and not a work of heat. So because it's very cold. So don't be deceived by the bright sky you're seeing. My hands are actually freezing. And so it's a good day. It's a good weather. And it's the kindness of God that we are privileged to have. And so as we celebrate this Easter, we need to see the goodness of God in and all around our lives. Sometimes at such seasons, we think of the things we don't have, but we should rather be grateful for the things we have. Because what we have, no matter how little of whatever it is, some people don't have that privilege. And so we're grateful to God that he makes it possible for us. So as we celebrate the Easter today is the memorial of Jesus' resurrection over 2,000 years ago. So I'll be sharing with us, Jesus resurrected. Nothing is stopping us now. Jesus resurrected, nothing is stopping us now. There's a song that says, "He is Lord, he is Lord, amen. He hath risen from the dead, he is Lord. Every knee must bow, Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The story we read in Matthew chapter 28 from verse 1 through to 10 began on Friday. On Friday, when we gathered here for the Good Friday service, we reminded ourselves that so many years ago, it was not described as Good Friday. For some, it was Black Friday. Now, Black Friday is when you get some cheap stuff discounted heavily to buy. For so many others, it was a sad Friday. The church was always in a mourning mode until later on, some theological people came to a point to say, oh, yes, it seemed like something that was sad. For those who were there on that day, it was not a happy moment. But for those of us in this era and time, and even for the apostles later, we will discover that it was a good day. A good day because Jesus died for us. A good day because he took our place, that the wrath of God was paid for. A good day because we were no longer going to be slaves under the domains of the devil. And so we could say Good Friday because he died for us. And so the Bible tells us something happened. The temple curtain that covered the sacred place that made it impossible for every other person to have access to God, even to have a sight or a glimpse of him. Why? Because that curtain was put there as God's way of preventing humanity from coming face to face with his wrath. And so only the chief priest or the high priest, whoever was on duty, was to go in. But on that day, the Bible tells us from about 12 to 3, as Jesus gave up his life, there was thick darkness. And the next thing that took place was that that curtain tore from top to the bottom. And so everyone could see whatever the high priest or the chief priest were the only ones who could see. And that majorly was the ark, what symbolized and signified God's presence. It meant that God was now accessible to everyone. It meant that the assignments of the priest as the intermediaries or those who are the mediator got to an end that day. The Bible tells us because of that event, Jesus became our mediator. Said, for there's no other mediator between God and man except for Jesus himself. And so he was crucified and buried. And if there was anything they were afraid of, was what he said. He said, this body I would lay down. This temple, I will destroy it, and in 3 days, I will build it back. First and foremost, when he said this temple, many of those who listened felt he was talking about the temple. That's as good as you are looking for trouble. How can you destroy the temple? The only place they have access to God. And they thought he was talking literally. And so they took it serious. But then they also knew he wasn't talking literally, because the Bible says to us that he meant it in a way that they could also understand that he was talking about himself. He was going to die, and in 3 days, he will resurrect. And so when you are looking at the 3 days, let's remember, the 3 days for those who are Jewish starts from sunrise to sunset. Sunset to sunrise. The evening and the morning is the first day. That's how the Jewish people count their own day. And so, 3 days he was there in the grave. What happened within those 3 days? Very important. Number one, we had the disciples who all ran away. Amen. Can you imagine guys who have gathered with you, and then somebody like Peter, when Jesus told him, I'm going to die, and said, no, you can't say that. How are you going to die? That will not happen. Then he saw him again and said, you will deny me. Say, I won't deny you. You hold me? No. I'm going to be there. And not too long, when they caught Jesus, and they said, you look like one of them. Say, me? I don't even know the man. I've never seen him in my life. You mean, but you look like one of his disciples. My brother, why would you say that? Look at me very well. Do I look like him? He had to deny Jesus. While Peter was there denying Jesus, the others were not even anywhere to be found. Everybody had hid themselves. Why? Because this was trouble. Have you ever found yourself in any situation whereby you thought that people would stay around you, and then suddenly you probably call some of them and they're not picking their calls? Why? Because they know exactly why you want to reach out to them, and they don't want to have anything to do with that trouble. That was exactly the kind of thing that took place. And the Bible says to us, having all this been done, Jesus crucified, he died, and somewhere along the line, someone came, Joseph of Arimathea, helped him in carrying his cross. Another person said his tomb, they had to use his tomb, the same. And then what happened? He was laid there. And the Bible says, because they knew what he had said, that he was going to resurrect. So the chief priests, the high priests, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, everybody came together. And they told the one who was the Roman person, put soldiers there. He said he was going to rise. It is possible his disciples will come and steal his body away, and then they will say he is risen. That's not going to be good for the government, and it's not going to be good for our religious disposition. And so the Bible said they put fierce-looking soldiers, those who have gone on war tour, not smiley, tough, and they stood there. No one is coming here. Their assignment was to make sure that this Jesus who said he would resurrect would not, for any reason, disappear. The Bible tells us something happened. The place that we read on the first day of the week, which is today, is Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. You have some Marys. So something happened. They said, let's go and anoint his body. To do those anointments, the idea is just to, it's like making sure that the body doesn't smell. Those are oil that, you know, smells fine, so you kind of rub it on the body and all those things. So they were going to do that, but they had a concern. In Mark chapter 16, the Bible tells us, Mark chapter 16 from verse 1 to 5, he said, they were saying to themselves, who will roll away the stone? The stone, because of what the, you know, the Pharisees, the chief priests, all those people said, so they looked for a heavy stone and rolled it on the tomb, and then they had to seal it with the, you know, the Roman authority seal, meaning nobody should touch it. So the women were wondering, two women, delicate, not that strong to roll a heavy stone. Already in their mind, they knew soldiers would be there, but they know you can't tell the soldiers to roll the stone for you. And while they were contemplating, something happened. We discovered in Matthew chapter 28, the Bible tells us, by the time they got there, an angel was sitting on the same stone they were contemplating on how to move. And the angel said to them, he's not here. He's risen. In John, or one of the Gospels, it says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? The Easter Sunday is one of the greatest treasures that we have as Christians. Why? Our faith in God should be unshaken. While our assurance of eternity and eternal life should be certain. There is no other religious leader in the whole of the history of religion that came back from the dead. It is only in the Christian faith we have an empty tomb. That the one who is our Lord and Savior that was buried rose again. And so Christianity stands above all other faith. Not because of us. Not because of anything we could ever do. But because we have a Lord and Savior who rose from the dead. And he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. Help me look at your neighbor again. Say, Happy Easter. Do you know what it means? That we are not having a Savior that is buried and has turned to dust. Because then, that person is as good as us. But we have a Savior that rose from the dead and is now up there. And so we have assurance. The Bible says that Paul was speaking to the church. He said, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then all our hopes are wasted. Our faith is useless. But the reason why we have hope of eternal life, why we have hope that we are able to leave this earth for a better place is because our Lord Jesus gave us the example. Historical example. And the Bible says that by the time he resurrected, some days later, he was taken up before the people. Before the witness of 500 people. They saw him. And then the angels said to them, why are you looking? The same Jesus, the same way he went, he would return. That's why we can celebrate Easter. That's why our faith in him must not waver or shake. In fact, Paul the Apostle said, if he who rose Christ from the dead dwells within you, that same spirit will quicken your mortal body. So we have all the reasons to celebrate why Jesus is risen from the dead. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. The cornerstone, the solid ground. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What height of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Even the love of Christ. I stand there in the grave, his body laid, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since cause has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilty lie, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his ends till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. When we say Jesus resurrected, nothing is stopping us. The Bible makes us to understand that if Jesus could not be kept in the grave, then nothing has the capacity to keep us down or keep us out. Maybe you are like the women, the Marys, contemplating about certain things that you can't do by yourself. The Bible said they were contemplating and asking themselves, who will roll away the stone? Sometimes we go through difficult situations that we know that, humanly speaking, we do not have the capacity, mentally, physically, or in whatever ways, or the resources required to be able to carry through. And we're wondering, sometimes we're thinking in our hearts, sometimes we're talking to people. But then when you remember that when God was to raise Jesus from the dead, the Bible says there was a great earthquake. The stones that they were contemplating on their journey before they arrived have been rolled away. Then you know there's nothing that you're going through, even the thoughts in your heart, that God does not hear. Then you understand that if God would give a son for you and raise him from the dead, then nothing has the capacity and the ability from the kingdom of hell or to any human means to keep you down. I don't know the weight of whatever you think has been rolled against your life. I don't know the odds that you feel are against you. But one thing I know, if the power of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, he will quicken your mortal bodies. That means God is able to do anything beyond our wildest imagination, beyond our faith, beyond our strength. Because it's a very present help, even in times of need. And there's nothing that he says he will do that he won't do. When Jesus said on the third day he would rise from the dead, some people felt it won't happen. Some were threatened that it could happen. And that's why they put soldiers, military men there, so that it won't happen. And I don't know the kind of blockage or hindrances or things that men have stationed against your life. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's in your business place. I don't know the things that you're struggling with, that sometimes people could actually be put as a way to make sure that that which you believe God can do should not happen in your life. But you know the beautiful thing? The Bible says that when they got there, the stone was not just rolled away. The angel sat on it. Not just that the angel sat on it, the soldiers that were put there to monitor and make sure that there was nothing like a resurrection, the Bible said when the earthquake took place, they became like dead men. These are seriously trained men, mean, and they must be very good. But you see, when God steps into your situation, there's no one who has the capacity to come against him. No one, no power, no demon, no force. If God says he's getting you out of a situation, he's truly getting you out. The Bible says in Numbers, it said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he has said a word, he will make it good. So as we have come and we are celebrating this resurrection of Jesus, remember, he resurrected for you and I. His resurrection, the hymn that was sung earlier, it said, it's like, I'm going to paraphrase now. When he rose, I arise. So right there in Jesus, you and I were raised up so that there's no shackle of hell, no bondage of sin, no workings of the devil has the capacity to hold your life down or my life down anymore. So when you celebrate Easter, you're celebrating God's freedom. You're celebrating God's intervention. We're celebrating God's manifestation. That in the seasons of life, no matter how terrible and the odds that are against us, we can remember that Jesus was locked away, crucified, locked away, and yet, against their expectations, he still came out. So, I'm encouraging somebody this morning. Are you in any situation you feel it's too tight, it's too hidden, it's too difficult, you can't come out? If God raised Jesus from the dead, and that same Jesus is the Lord over your life, then I have a good news for you. You are rising out of those same situations. Whether it's a psychological, mental, physical, financial, social, whatever the name of the situation, whatever keeps you down, whatever keeps you like as if you are in some measure of darkness or limitation, Jesus died and resurrected for you and for me. And when we have that in our spirit, we can go to him in prayer, knowing that we are not praying to a dead God. The Bible says he's up there interceding for us. In fact, the Bible puts it, we do not have an high priest who is not touched even by our pains, our infirmities. Why? Because he was here. In every way, he went through the things that we would ever have felt. And so, right there, we have a living God. And so, we know that when we pray, we are not just praying to the air. When we pray, we are not just praying because it's another ritual, another exercise, you just need to do it. Other religious faith could do that, not being sure. But I can say to you, for those of us who are Christians, we know that Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, then we can face any situation. Because his death was for us. How many of us know the hymn song? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, my life is worth a living just because he lives. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to die heal and forgive. On Calvary. Now I'm hooked. Amen. So you need to check your hymn book and get the remaining. The Bible says the angel saw them and the angel said to them, you are looking for the living amongst the dead. Said, go to Galilee. It's going ahead of you. Go and tell his brothers, tell the disciples, tell everyone. And for them, that was a miracle. And it's still one of the greatest miracles. And so we can face any day, we can face any situation. And when I say that, I say it with all utmost sense of responsibility. That I don't know what you are facing. But Jesus' death was not just an happenstance. It took place as a testimony to us. It took place in order so that our faith in him will be strengthened. It took place so that we know that we have not been left alone. And that just like he was able to get out from the grave, we are able to get out of any situation that are similar. Because he will be there with us. And so as we say, Happy Easter. And as we celebrate the Easter, it should be a time to deeply reflect on the price he paid, but much more on the fact that he rose so that you and I will have assurance of eternal life. So, I need you to know that when you give your life to Christ, you are signing up for a life beyond this earth. That's the major thing. Paul said, if all our preaching and all our gospel ends here, we are of all men most miserable. But the good part is this. The Bible says, and what is that? It says, when the time comes, the dead in Christ will rise first. And those of us who are also alive would also in a twinkle of an eye be raised to be with him. That is a testimony of the resurrection and the resurrection power that is able to carry us not just in this life, but in the life to come. And so I encourage us this morning, as you go through the day, as you get into Easter Monday tomorrow, remember, whatever you're going through is a passing thing. Can I submit? There are some things you may not ever conquer in this life. I hope you know. That's just life. But you have a hope that there are a lot of things beyond this life that you are able to enjoy in God's presence, where there will be no weeping, no sorrow, no garnishing of teeth. There will not be wars or rumors of wars. We would worship God day and night. And the resurrection of Jesus is a testimony to that. And so if I were you, if I'm here and I've not given my life to Christ, this is a good day to sign up and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Help me and save me. And I tell you, he is ever ready because that's why he came to die. That's the summary of our Christian faith. That's why we have church anyway. That's why we are able to come from diverse backgrounds and just have one hope and one faith. And one Lord. And one baptism. As you go through this day, enjoy the day. But much more, reflect What is my connection with this Jesus that rose from the dead because of me? Because nothing, absolutely nothing, has the capacity and the ability to stop you except for you. If Jesus rose from the dead, you have all the backing of God on your side to navigate life and always come out on top. And that's my encouragement to you this morning. Can we bow our heads and pray? Lord, at this point, I pray for as many who are facing obscurity. It seems as if they have been buried, covered away into a tomb. Some are in the dark place in their mind, in their mental state. Some are in the dark place in their relationships at the moment. Some are navigating through life in a way that they feel forgotten. They felt they are laid behind the stone. And some of us might be in that state where we are contemplating like the two Marys. And we are talking to ourselves and saying, who will help us roll away, remove this burden, remove this heavy goal? Who will help us to achieve this that we have set before us? We might be looking for help in diverse places. But Lord, help us to turn to you for help. That what we cannot roll by ourselves, you can send your angels. Lord, I pray at this moment for everyone under the sound of my voice, that they will enjoy and experience angelic visitation, angelic intervention, angelic manifestation, angelic ministration, that in places where things look impossible, that they have been carrying in their heart, Lord, send your angels, O God, an assignment on our behalf. And let there be a positive change. Let the burdens and the stones be rolled away. Lord, if there's anything covering us, as you rose Jesus from the dead, over lives, over minds, over businesses, over marriages, every satanic manipulation or human wickedness meant against any life here at this moment. And under the sound of my voice, I ask, O God, that by the power of your resurrection, there will be healing, there will be deliverance, there will be a positive turnaround. Let each and every one of us here experience the power of your resurrection afresh in our lives and in our affairs. For everyone who is a member of our family, Lord, may we experience the newness of life. Anyone that is stuck, oh God, let them arise in the name of Jesus. And against the expectations of people, any negative expectations over our lives, any negative plans or conspiracy against us in any way from the kingdom of darkness or even from others around us, we pray, O God, that you negate such and you turn things around for our good. That just like the women when they arrive, the stones have been rolled away. Let there be testimonies of divine help. Let there be testimonies of divine deliverance and healings and breakthrough. Let every one of us this Easter have a new experience of who you are. A new experience of your power and of your angels at work on our behalf. Your word says you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all we ask or think. Whatever is a burden in the heart of people seated here and those who would listen to this online. Let all such burdens receive divine settlement. We pray on this Easter Sunday that there be an experience of a turnaround for good. And for as many who are surrendering their lives to you, Jesus, we ask, O God, that by your blood shed, let there be a washing of the soul, spirit, and body. That, Lord, save, O God, as many who open their hearts to reach to you. And let their lives never remain the same, so that they are delivered from the shackles of hell. And, Lord, they become part of your family. And they have the hope of resurrection beyond this life. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for every heart desires that are in line with your will. Because there will be divine surprises for us. These we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.